This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, baby, here we go. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're about 20 minutes from Chris Young joining us. Big Silver Boot Series going to be underway tonight. A 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch as the Astros are in town. And hopefully this is the turning point we have been waiting for. I know we were talking about the Rangers earlier, and somebody cussed me out on text saying I was in denial, and I just need to admit it. This thing's been over for a long time. And we'll see. You know, I'm going to give them another probably three series, maybe four. Before I declare it over. I know there's a lot of evidence there, but I mean the line between below average and significantly above average is pretty thin, and I'm not going to give up on these Rangers after what they did for us last year. You kidding me? You saw how pathetic they were, you know, and then they went on the greatest championship run of their lives. This happens in baseball sometimes, so I think to give up on them now would be bad fanmanship on your part, Mr. Texter.
Oh, tell them.
What do you think about that now, huh?
Yeah.
I like them apples. Let's jump into this Mavericks offseason fan poll. This is from The Athletic. Mavs fan survey reveals last season and other interesting things about this upcoming season. That's from Tim Cato. What do they say? Last season was the most entertaining season of all? Or the second most entertaining season of all? I don't know.
To 2011?
Yeah, to 2011. Like, other than 2011... what has been the greatest Mavs season of all time? I mean, last year, I think that's recency bias. Wouldn't it have been the first time that you made the finals? 2005-06?
Yeah, I mean, that was a hell of a run. It was just that finals was so soul-crushing that, I don't know, maybe fans are like, I tend to want to forget about that.
You think you're going. You've never been.
Yeah, I mean, the thinking was they've won the championship. And then, halfway through game three, they're dominating, and then the Heat had that crazy comeback. So,
I mean, at no point did you think they were going to beat the Celtics. At least you got to get excited. I think that's just the pain of having it ripped.
That's probably what it is.
05-06 was way better than last year. No? 877-81?
It's tough because I do think there's something to be said for the first time you've gotten there.
Sure.
So if you take yourself back to that moment of the excitement of advancing to the finals in 05, that probably is, because that's your first, dude. I mean, it's just like what we had with the Rangers. The first time, you'll never forget that. Now, obviously, you didn't win the championship, but just being in it is pretty dang amazing. So I think you're actually probably right about that. What about the season where you go? I mean, some of these are like great postseason runs, like the first time Luka took him to the Western Conference Finals. That was a hell of a postseason
run. Dirk's first conference finals.
Yeah, that finished third. What is that? The 02-03 season, first conference finals.
Yeah, that Spurs loss.
That finished third, and then fourth was the 87-88 season where you take the Showtime Lakers to game seven in the West Finals. That was pretty exciting.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Okay, excluding Luka Doncic, who is your favorite current Mavericks player? Number one, as far as the second most popular player, was shocking to me.
Derek Lively.
I think it's because he's so likable. The mom story was heart-wrenching. He's a rookie. But, I mean, why do we like him that much? Kyrie Irving is sitting out here with 25.8% of the vote. He is maybe the most aesthetically pleasing player to watch as far as just his playing style and his skill set. I was pretty surprised by that, Chief. How about you?
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by it. I think the reputation for Kyrie Irving probably has soured some people to a point where they can never really just fully be like, hey, he's totally my guy. Derek Lively, you drafted him. He was even better than you thought he was going to be. The personality, all the stuff, just watching him get better and better. You see the leadership at the microphone where he's like talking about how his advice to Luka and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there is. And then the mom factor, like, he is a super likable dude who you drafted and is yours. It's not like he's bounced around and now he's here with you and he's sort of damaged goods or anything. So the youth factor, how good he was, and he's got a great story and personality.
Yeah, I think my second favorite.
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably initially with Kyrie weren't too sure. They were calling this a terrible deal, terrible idea. He's going to, you know, the things that happened to him at other places. And I think his standing with fans, especially in Dallas the last 2 years, has probably grown even more than what they, you know, what they believe. Because I guarantee you there were a lot of people that were all over the Mavs about doing this deal.
Yeah, and, you know, I was thinking along the same lines. I just thought that he'd won people over so much that there's no way a rookie who is not, you know, even an all-star or close would be more popular. I think P.J. Washington, with his standing on business thing, should have won the fans over more than anything Derek Lively did in his rookie year. But, to each their own, you know, maybe.
Lively is a very likable guy, though. I mean, you mentioned about the story about the mom and stuff, but I think his play endeared him to a lot of fans.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, you know, hey, there was, you know, even the guys that are Duke fans, guys like Hagee and John Machota, guys that really follow their program, they weren't sure how good he was going to be. I think everybody's like, wow. I mean, hey, this kid really, you know, his work ethic, you know, his demeanor, how young he is. I mean, he there's a lot of things to really, really like about him. With the way he plays, but the way he handles himself off the court as well.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I was just surprised. You know, 9.7 rebounds. Good. I mean, good on him. He has endeared himself to the fan base quite well.
Yeah.
Okay. Up next here, Mavericks off-season survey. People taking Derek Lively over Kyrie Irving. What do you believe was the primary reason Cuban sold the team? Personal finances, declining local broadcast rights, future political ambitions, prioritizing family. His personal finances won 53.3%. I would agree with that. It's not that he was hurting for money.
Sure.
It was just too great of an opportunity to sell.
Hard to argue that, right? I mean, and him wanting to also get into the gambling assets of that here in Texas and what the Adelson family can bring in that regard also makes sense for his personal finances.
Yeah, it's 100% a personal finances situation. He's thinking big picture. I think there were some questions about the local TV streaming stuff. Is this a good time to get out? And maybe he knows something that we don't know about that. But ultimately, it's always a business move in something like this.
Do you guys feel like there's a possibility in maybe 2 to 3 years that the Dallas Mavericks are moved to Las Vegas?
I don't think so right now. I think, you know, maybe that could happen if a lot of things went against them and Luka wanted to leave. But I think there's too great of an opportunity here in Dallas-Fort Worth with the amount of success they've had for it to be a good idea to leave.
Well, I just wonder with the fact that, you know, you got teams in Texas already. You've got, you know, San Antonio and Houston. But I wonder if the thing with the, you know, with the new buyers of the team, would they push? You know, if they don't get what they want with the casino and the arena, which they could build, that's not a problem. But I wonder how much they're going to sit there and allow their big picture plan just not to be fulfilled. That they say, you know what? We bought this team with the opportunity to build something here, casino, arena, But if it doesn't work, heck, I mean, maybe they, you know, that family's worth a lot of money, and maybe they got a deal. Maybe they got a deal with the NBA already. Like, listen, we know the ins and outs of how to deal in Las Vegas, and we could put an established team in Las Vegas.
Would not surprise me at all. I just, know that at every turn so far, they've said, we didn't come here to get into the Texas gambling business. We're here to run the team and all that. I'm going to take their word for it when it comes to betting on what they would do, Brian. But I'm with you that it probably shouldn't surprise us if how it does play out.
You know, we heard whispers about them, and maybe it's true. Maybe somebody on the text can tell me if I'm wrong. But they bought that land, the old Texas Stadium land.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, are you coming in here just to buy land, just to have land in Texas? I think there's other places you could probably purchase. That's a lot. That is a big tract of land that they bought with a highway system that goes all around it.
It would be a great place for a new arena and a casino.
Yeah, and your casino as well. I mean, I can't tell you how easy it is to go to Windstar just right off the highway.
Okay, you know, this kind of segues into our next question.
Okay.
How favorable is your impression of Patrick Dumont and the team's new ownership group with their basketball role? You know, and it was like 1 through 5. I voted 5. I think these guys are perfect with the deep pockets and the support that they give financially to the front office, but they seem much more like fans than guys trying to get into day-to-day sports operations, which is what you want from your ownership.
I saw the family quite a bit when we were going to the playoff games. I was always go down in the tunnel and, you know, I talked to Coop down there or met Kevin Harlan down there. Family's always coming by, you know, they're excited, they got gear on. Everything was really, really cool with all that. But I like the fact that they're worth billions and billions of dollars. And if they want to spend hundreds of millions to go over luxury taxes, much like what Golden State has done, and bring championships here, Mark Cuban is not going to do that.
Yeah, we saw that.
This family is going to leverage their holdings in Las Vegas in order to potentially help their basketball team, which I am all for. I think money and going over luxury tax and all that, if you do it the right way with Nico and others, man, you could build a team that could be much like what we saw in Golden State.
Yeah, I love this dynamic much more than the old one with Mark Cuban.
Yeah, me too.
Any conflicts with that? Wolchuk, Chiafalo?
No, I mean, I still think there still remains to be seen to some extent, like how willing they are to put, but like, do they really want to be? I get good vibes about them wanting to have a good basketball team and caring about that, and I hope it doesn't turn into, well, this is a business and we're just trying to make all the money possible and we put that before winning. I don't think they will do that as much as like what Mark Cuban has done over the last few years, and that seems pretty clear. And then Dumont on the microphone after the Western Conference Finals victory, you know, still working on that one a little bit, but that's fine. That'll come in due time.
Yeah, like it's a 5 now, right? You buy the team, you go to the finals immediately. You're in a bit of a honeymoon phase. Yeah. But let's see a couple years from now, once they've been here, it's established. Are you really willing to go into the luxury tax? That will remain to be seen.
I think they are. I mean, these people's lives is gambling. It's money. It's the splash. It's the show. It's all this. I think they bought this team knowing that they might not get the expansion team in Vegas. That might be something that they won't be able to get.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it would take multiple developments right now, though, for them to actually move the team to Vegas. How much confidence do you have in the front office? How much confidence do you have in the coaching staff? The front office got a 5. Jason Kidd and the staff got a 4 out of 5, which I think are both appropriate.
Sure. I mean, I think you've got to have a ton of faith in what Nico's been able to do. So far, this offseason's been great. Last offseason was money. And the coaching staff, look, Jason Kidd, anytime he gets into the postseason now, he's made it to the conference finals and the NBA finals. He knows what he's doing come playoff time.
How confident are you the Mavs can win a championship in the next 5 years? The top 2 vote getters were 4 and 5. Big confidence here from this
confident
fan base.
I'm confident, yeah.
You sure that, Chief?
Yeah, you should be confident. You should be confident. I mean, it's obviously a difficult thing to actually accomplish, even if you are championship caliber. But, yeah, I think I would be sitting right there in the neighborhood of 4 or 5 as well.
How confident are you Luka will remain in Dallas past the 2026 offseason?
At this point, I am confident. I think we've reset the Luka clock here, and I think he's here to stay for a fair amount of time.
I think a kid from Duke has given him a new lease on life as far as this basketball team.
Good call.
Yeah, 20 years old, scratching the surface on his potential, and they've made deep playoff runs two out of the last 3 years. I'm confident Luke is staying.
I kind of feel like they would have played the Celtics even better if Lively was a 2 to 3 year veteran already.
I think
they would have figured that out. I think he would have figured that out. That was a real learning experience for him last year.
And they just extended Kidd's contract, too, and we know how much he loves Jason Kidd. So.
Yeah.
All right. Does Chris Young still believe there is a chance this Ranger season can turn around for the better? It's time for the CY show when it comes to you next here in the G-Bag Nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for the Chris Young Show. That's brought to you by PlayScore and Anheuser-Busch. Segment's brought to you by Soda, that's state-of-the-art, and it's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. As the Rangers general manager, Chris Young, joins you now here on 105.3 The Fan. How you doing, CY?
Hey, guys. I'm all right. Thank you. How are you all?
About the same. Doing my best to stay positive and optimistic here, just 5.5 back. Do you think this thing can still be turned around on a 180 like happened last fall?
Well, there's no doubt that when this team plays its best baseball, that we can compete with any team in the big leagues. Just unfortunately, we have not seen that consistently at the level that we were accustomed to seeing last year, and really at the level we expected this year. So, I'm frustrated. I know the players are frustrated. Boach and the staff is frustrated. But there's still a lot of baseball left, and we happen to be in a division where we're not out of it. And stranger things have happened. We've got really just about 2 months of baseball left, and you know, if we get hot here and play really good baseball from here to the end of the season, good things are ahead. But it's time to go. And I've said this before, and I just my hope is that now is the time. We've got a huge series this week, and hopefully it starts now.
We've gotten to see a couple of the pieces already that you traded for last week. It's the first time we've gotten to talk with you since the deadline. How did it go overall? How do you feel about what went down? And was there anything maybe out there that you were hoping you could have gotten done, you just weren't able to make it happen?
Yeah, you know, the deadline's interesting in that regard, because it really, there are so many different aspects to it. It's very fluid, and your needs may not align with what the market allows you to do. And I think that was the case this year, is that we were targeting a bat, trying to find a way to kind of upgrade our offense or solidify our offense against right-handed pitching especially. And that hitter just never really materialized on the market. That person wasn't out there, and the price that we were willing to pay wasn't within the consideration that we felt like we needed to give it to acquire an impact bat. bat. So with that, we pivoted a little bit, tried to upgrade our bullpen, shorten games a little bit, take some pressure off our starters. And we were happy with what we were able to do. That said, we also recognized that, you know, our goals of adding a bat didn't pan out. And, you know, but I think the best thing that we can do internally is get our guys performing offensively at the level that they're capable of. And if they do that, we feel really good about our team.
Yeah, I was curious about you scored four runs in the fourth inning. This is on Saturday, and then three runs in the sixth. They both start with Adolis Garcia getting a walk in the fourth inning. Then in the sixth, he doubles, and that just ignites the team. Is he the catalyst for this thing? We're excited to get Josh Jung back. It's amazing, but getting Garcia going feels like the most important thing.
Well, it is at this point. If not the most important thing, it's one of the most important things. And I think the beauty of our lineup last year was that there was continuity throughout the lineup and that we were able to really pass the baton to the next hitter. It was a 1-9 approach where all nine guys, to some degree, were a threat and could either, at worst, get on base via walk or work the count. And this year, we feel like there's been too many empty at-bats. There have been too many holes where we just haven't had the consistency and the continuity 1-9 in the lineup. And I think that the other day on Saturday when we did see those big innings, we saw that. We saw an inning where we really passed the baton. Guys got on base in different ways. And, you know, Adolis is a huge part of that. And Josh Jung is certainly a huge part of that. And I think just getting our guys playing to their accustomed level is the biggest thing that we can do. And if we do that, I love our lineup. But right now, we just haven't been able to consistently put the quality at bats together like we did last year. And I'm not saying we can't do it. I really believe this team is capable of doing it. I think we saw it in April. I think offensively in April, we were a very good team. But we've fallen off since then. And it's time for some of these guys to start figuring out what's wrong and making the adjustment and getting back to the way they can play.
To Chris Young Show here on your home of the champs. When we talk about keys to beating Houston, are they specific for a team? What are they? And then, you know, how much does that change series to series?
Well, it's a great question because every series is the same. You got to pitch, you got to score enough runs, and you got to defend, right? So there are three critical aspects. But I think, especially when you play a team like Houston that is capable of scoring and really has some potent offensive threats, you really have to limit the damage by those guys. You got to get the guys out in front of them. You got to get the bottom of the lineup out. And then when you get to the middle of their order, the Altuves, Alvarez, Bregman, you have to be able to limit the damage from that group. And if you can do that, it gives you a chance to win. And likewise, offensively, we need to put up runs. We need to take some pressure off of our pitching staff. We need to come out. We need to swing it well, have quality at-bats. Our defense has been very solid all year. We've played very good defense, so I'm confident we'll continue to do that. But we need to have quality at-bats, and we need to really attack the middle of their lineup and make sure that we don't let them do the damage.
So, speaking of the pitching, Kamar Rocker's looked fantastic in his first couple of rehab starts. What are your thoughts on him, and is there any chance we could even see him at the big league level this year?
Well, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves in terms of a timeline for Kumar, but it's been really fun to see him. Kumar has worked so hard to get back to where he is. He looks fantastic. He's in incredible shape. The ball is jumping out of his hand. I saw his first start in Frisco. It looked amazing. He just was so good. He had a wipeout slider or curveball, breaking ball, whatever he calls it. But regardless, it's really exciting to see him. We know what kind of competitor he is. He's got an elite makeup and mindset. And so now when we get him physically right and healthy and built back up, the sky's the limit for him. I'm so happy for him because he's been through so much, starting with a draft a few years ago where he didn't sign, had to re-enter, had shoulder surgery. Then he signs with us. Has a really good start to his career, had elbow issues, had to have Tommy John, and here he is pitching healthy again. I think that we're going to get a long run of healthy Kumar Rocker, and he's going to be a big part of our future.
How's Jack Leiter doing?
Jack's doing well, too. Jack's had a very good year at Triple-A. We skipped his last start mainly because he's made so many starts continuously and felt like we needed to back him off. He may be a big part of what we do in August and September, if not into October, and we want to make sure we get him to the finish line healthy and strong. So we are monitoring his innings a little bit, making sure that he's in a good spot as he approaches August and September here. We're expecting a strong finish from Jack.
Have you heard from Evan Carter? That's a bummer of a story, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm really disappointed for Evan. I know how hard injuries are. I've certainly had my fair share as a player. And I know nobody wants to be out there helping the team more than Evan. He's done everything he possibly can, and for whatever reason, just his back didn't work well with the timelines that we thought and expected in terms of what he needed. And so we ramped him up twice and just had setbacks both times, and at which point we took a bigger step back, looking at the big picture, how important Evan is to our future, and decided that we really need to give him an extended period here, 8 to 12 weeks, where he can strengthen his back muscles, let this thing calm down, and at which point we think it's not going to be a long-term issue. But if we continue to try to push it and shave weeks off that, we may be looking at something that he's going to have to deal with for a longer period of time. And we just would rather get this right now. It stinks to not have him this year, but we're looking again. He's such a big part of our future. We're looking ahead and looking out for the big picture here.
And what about in regards to Jacob deGrom? Is he getting ready to start facing some hitters?
Yeah. Jacob is. He's going to throw his first live batting practice here in a few days, and he's doing wonderfully. I just, every week, I'm just so happy for Jacob. I know how long he's waited to be back out here, and this is a huge step now. Our medical team has done a tremendous job with both Kumar and Jacob and many others who've come through our rehab program off surgery. And Jacob is now ready to face hitters, and we'll start building him up through live BPs and then eventually into rehab games. And our hope is that he'll be back sometime, you know, this early September to help us make a playoff push.
Yeah, what goes into this, the decision making on bringing a guy like DeGrom back? Like, if it's no matter what, if he's healthy and ready to go, doesn't matter about the standings or where we're at here, maybe in September, or does that factor in how close we are to winning the division and, oh, let's get his butt back in here now?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to say that we could rush him for the sake of winning the division, but the reality is that Jacob, again, is such a big part of our future that we're not going to rush him or take any chances medically with him. His medical recovery and rehab will dictate his timeline. That said, he's done great. He's feeling really well. He's on time in terms of the timeline that we had originally hoped for. And, you know, we'll have further conversations in the coming, you know, week, 2 weeks as he passes these next tests in his rehab program and faces live hitters, see how he comes out of it, how he recovers. And we'll determine what an appropriate buildup for Jacob is, what he needs, and whether we're going to build him up. You know, I don't think we're going to have the idea, have him come back with the idea of starting and going seven innings. I think that, you know, it would certainly be shorter than that. So that may facilitate, you know, a little bit quicker timeline. But we just want to get through these next couple live batting practices first, and then we'll determine what the next steps are.
And with Mally debuting for you guys tomorrow, what can that do for the team as far as being a shot in the arm? Can starting pitching help the offense? To what extent is that possible?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Just having quality starting pitching, somebody who goes out there as a veteran starter who's had real success in this league, goes out there and just competes and keeps the team in the game and gives the chance to win. I mean, I don't want to put unfair expectations on Tyler coming off his rehab and surgery that he's going to be in midseason form his first outing, but I am confident based on where his stuff is and how his rehab outings have gone that he's ready for major league competition, that his stuff is going to trend upwards as he gets in a major league environment, has that adrenaline that you just can't replicate anywhere in the minor leagues. And it's going to take some pressure off of our pitching staff. It's going to allow us to really kind of line up our bullpen pieces and just have a veteran quality starter out there every fifth day. It's going to be a big boost for us.
So, you know, I've been wanting to ask you your thoughts on the potential of being able to trade draft picks. It seems like we're able to do that in other sports, Major League Baseball, not so much. How much could that help in being able to make some of these trades?
Well, I just think it adds another level of creativity to the game and to executives that are doing everything we can to possibly to put the best possible team on the field. So, you know, the more creative teams can get and the more access to we'll call it capital in terms of trade capital, it's beneficial, I think, for the game. I think it makes things interesting, and I think it's just another creative way. That said, I understand why it hasn't happened. It needs to be collectively bargained between the league and the players, and you know, so I think that it'll be on hold for a few years until the next CBA, but nonetheless, I'm all for it.
Can't thank you enough, Chris. Give them hell out there. We'll be pulling for you.
Guys, let's get a win this this series. Let's go win the series and get rolling here. We appreciate it.
Shoot you. Thank you, sir. CY brought to you by PlayScore and by Anheuser-Busch here in the G-Bag Nation every Monday at 420. Segment's also brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, it's tough. You know, you get those expectations coming in on your baseball team, and the next thing you know, life's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
You know, you're close to 500. You're the defending champs, but the frustration, the tension, you know, as CY told us, the players, the coaches, the front office, you know, it's there's just no rational explanation for why this offense continues to struggle like this.
It's a massive lack of consistency. You think you turn the corner, and then it's, nope, not so fast.
I think we've done that four times
Yes,
now.
Yes, we have.
You know, so hopefully the next time they win a couple of series, it's not going to be a false start. Top 10 at 420 is coming up next, though. We'll check. Where's it going?
Well, I know it was a celebration in the Chiafalo household. We celebrated National Mustard Day over the weekend. I've got the top 10 most popular condiments to keep in the fridge door. What's something you've always got in your fridge condiment-wise? That's next in the nation.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're now under 2 hours from Rangers pregame coming up at 6:30, battling the Astros. It's a silver boot series for the ages, really. It's been a long time since we've had one this important. The Rangers got to have success. 5.5 back of the M's. Houston is 1 back of Seattle. So first things first here with getting a chance against the Astros. It's time now, though, for a look at today's top 10. Here's Wolchuk.
Thank you very much, General. We celebrated National Mustard Day over the weekend. What are the condiments that you've always got in your fridge, or just anything in general that you're always, I got to have this in my fridge? 877-881-1053. Did you end up seeing the finale to House of the Dragons, Lucius?
Yes, I did. Yes, fantastic show. All the dragons came out, bro.
I love the dragons. I did think that finale was a bit of a dud for me, though.
Yeah. You know, most finales are duds.
It was like, come on,
most
really?
Most finales are duds, bro.
What are we doing? Now we've just set up season three, and I really just wanted to get something good here. I feel like we're back almost where we started, but yes, there were some awesome epic moments in the season, but the finale
Shout out to C-Smoke and his grandfather.
Hell yeah.
If you want to tease it, I get it, right? But give me some closure on some other stuff,
closure.
Close these chapters, and then boom, hey, look at what might happen over here.
Yeah.
That's fair. You know?
I guess maybe Damon's character, we got a little bit of closure on, like, where does he lie in all this? But come on, I was wanting more from that finale.
I kind of felt like that the show Ozark always left me, like, amazed to get ready for the next season. When the lawyer, when they all went to Mexico and that all went down, I was like, I've never, you know, usually you're right, the closing, you know, you're just kind of go, oh, okay, whatever. It's just Ozark and some of these Breaking Bad, they just seem like they had a knack for getting that's right to get you like, God, I got to wait 18 months now for another one? What, you know?
That's a hell of a call. Ozark nailed it. I mean, Ozark's finales were like, oh my gosh, jaw-dropping.
Always made me feel like, okay, please just start again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially like Netflix is doing it right then, where you could just binge the whole season as soon as it came out. It's not none of this like, oh, I'm releasing 4 episodes and then you got to wait 2 months. Then here's the next 4 episodes. These streaming services are really getting you now with all that crap. Some of them are even making you wait a full week.
Yeah, there's so much stuff out there now. I lose track of it. You know, I'll just stand by. I'll be waiting. I'll be here when you want to launch into some more.
All right, what's something you always have to have in your fridge, Eric? I don't even need to ask you. I know mustard's number one. I know you're always going to be packing the mustard.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, it can be controversial. Some people are like, no, my mustard stays in the pantry or whatever, stays in the cupboard. But I like a cold mustard.
You need a chilled mustard.
I actually like a cold condiment really in general. I like dipping that hot fry into like a cold Whataburger. Ketchup, spicy ketchup.
Whataburger
like
ketchup got a lot of love on the text, 877-881-1053.
I'm going to need 3 different kinds of mustard, probably 2 different kinds of ketchup, a regular for the kids and a spicy, maybe the Whataburger ketchup there. I need some teriyaki sauce.
Okay,
I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, my wife is all about the teriyaki sauce.
I know, but Brian, you love your yum-yum sauce.
I do love me some yum-yum sauce. I'll tell you what, sweet Thai chili sauce is another one that I use as well. Because it's got a little bit of the sweet and a lot of the heat. And so, yeah, it's got to be a go-to.
Man, I have not. We're getting some texts in back-to-back. Season finale of Mayor of Kingstown was not a dud. 214, any of you guys ever watched The Mayor of Kingstown? Excellent show. I am behind on that because while we were in Oxnard, I think I've got two episodes to go.
Is this the Jeremy Renner?
Jeremy Renner show.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is very good. I would highly recommend watching it if you haven't watched it, but I'm excited to hear that the season finale was strong, 469. I'll have to check that out. Lucius, what are we keeping in the fridge?
So there's several large Wingstop ranches in my refrigerator.
Always.
Not sure which one you should be eating. You should look at it, take, you know, saying, yeah. See if there's a good film on top of it or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's several in there, and I always use them.
Always using that Wingstop ranch.
And when I find a bad one, I do throw it away. I do.
I've gotten to the point where I have to ask somebody else to check the date. I don't have reader's glasses yet. Mm. I
you can't
them.
Tell.
I'm damn near going blind, I feel like. I can't tell. I can't read it. You know, I get it far enough away. I get in perfect light. I still can't read some of those.
Watching you try to upgrade your Frontier seat was hilarious.
Oh, man. That's well, I mean,
wow. He's really Gavin reaching goes, away from
Gavin
his
goes,
face
can you
here.
Read the last three numbers on here? I'm like, dude, no. What the heck? It was totally scratched off.
I had
no
idea. Credit card. I'm like, what are these numbers? You can't see it either?
No.
Oh,
like,
man.
I can, maybe a 7. I'm not even sure. Is it a 9 that's been worn down? It was bizarre. But Lucius, what we need to do is get Wingstop to start selling the ranch in the grocery stores like Whataburger's been doing.
They should, but I don't think they will do something like that because you have to come in and get something else with it, like some fries or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just buy the Wingstop ranch like I do, but they want you to come on in and get that foot traffic.
Wow.
Upsell your ass.
So you can't just go in there and buy ranch by itself?
Yeah, you can. You can go in there and get the large ranch if you want
but
to.
But they want to get you in the store.
Yeah, they want to get you in the store. You can get all the smells. And you're like, you know what? Yeah. I like to dip that in some fries.
Lucius, you need to get you one of those squeeze bottles, like the old ketchup and mustard bottles, you know, that were red or yellow. They have clear ones. And fill that thing up with ranch. Cut the end, the top off it to give you a little bit better pour so you can control it.
Look at this,
for
dude.
What you want to put
Mr.
on it.
Belvedere on this joint.
Yeah. But what it'll do, Lucius, it'll help you with the keeping the track of your if it's old or new or whatever. When you're filling that bottle up, you just kind of know, like, okay, this bottle's, when it's down to the end, it's pretty old, or when it's filled up to the top, I'm like, this thing's pretty new.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I probably just mix the two and shake them together.
That's also works too.
Yeah, right.
That works too.
You tough.
512, a big bottle of Rudy's original barbecue sauce is always in my fridge door. I put that bleep on everything.
It's good sauce.
Wingstop Blue Cheese got a vote here that they use every single day. Just got some Caribbean jerk marinade from a farmer's market in Agtown that is delicious.
There you go.
From the 682. Beer from the 972 is what they've constantly got in the fridge. Big Mac sauce from the 847.
Polynesian sauce from our place.
Versatile.
Very versatile.
It is. Tiger
Does
sauce?
Big Mac sauce sell it like individually? I thought that was Thousand Island dressing kind of.
You can make that. Yeah, you get your gherkin pickles, dice those things up with some ketchup and some mayonnaise, maybe a little bit of mustard. Yeah, you can make your own McDonald's sauce if you want.
I saw certain McDonald's did start putting them in, like the little, like they get that their barbecue, their honey mustard. They started doing Big Mac sauce like that.
I like Mac sauce.
But yeah, that Mac sauce
good.
Is delicious.
Yeah. It is good.
Cholula being texted in, spicy ketchup, jalapeno ranch. Yep.
I'll tell you, I got that Yellow Bird little spicy sauces.
Yellow Bird's
they got
delicious.
A bunch of different kinds.
Good product.
And it's, yeah, it's on point.
Craftsman. Yellow Bird's really good. Firehouse pepper sauce. We've got Sweet Baby Ray's being texted, Miracle Whip mayonnaise, a lot of good stuff.
Blue Plate mayonnaise is good.
You're a big Duke's fan.
Duke's is huge
in
my
Duke's
life.
Is yours.
Yeah. The Chinese mayonnaise is pretty good, though,
the
too.
The Coupai,
yes.
Whatever it is. Yeah, that's
yes.
amazing.
Yep.
Some of the honorable mentions, we've got Worcestershire sauce.
Ooh, yeah. Little anchovy base to us there.
Worcestershire?
Yeah.
Here, give me Worcestershire sauce.
Little woo sauce.
For
yeah.
your ass.
Good on it's too watery, rib. Isn't it?
What? Worcestershire sauce?
Yeah.
You don't like it on steak?
I love it.
I love
good.
It, too. Okay, I love it on
a
steak.
More of a hearty
yeah,
type of sauce.
Thicker,
like
yeah.
A1?
Yeah.
No.
Ugh. Worcestershire,
the Worcestershire I feel like
things.
Will like start flowing over to your mashed potatoes quite easily.
Yeah.
Use it as a marinade.
What are you talking about?
Marinate. Use it as a marinade. Use it as dry and dry brine your like prime rib or whatever. You put that on there with your seasoning and then put it in the fridge for 24 hours. You'll thank me later.
Number 10, Brian, is soy sauce.
That goes right through me, but I'll tell you what, I can't stop. I cannot stop eating that stuff. It just goes right through me, but hey, as long as I'm near something that I can take care of, I'll eat soy sauce all day.
Hey,
Did Sriracha make an appearance here?
Sriracha is not in the top 10.
This is a bogus.
There is hot sauce that is in there, but Sriracha.
Is that like
where's our Bears salsa? Corner? Sriracha, yeah, where's he talking about?
This? 9 is cream cheese.
Hot sauce got to be Louisiana. Yeah.
I love Louisiana.
Yeah.
Texas Pete, if you want to make some hot wings.
Mm.
I do love Texas Pete.
8 is ranch.
I'm just finding out that.
That's low, man.
Tabasco makes a coarse ground mustard?
They do.
Let's I did go. Not know did not that.
They
that.
Make a jelly, too, that's really good.
Got like a little kick to the jelly.
Oh, jelly. Yes.
I like a spicy jelly.
Oh, yes. I'd be in on that.
They make jelly, too. They make a red pepper jelly that you need to try.
7 is mustard.
Straight?
Straight mustard.
French? French's?
French's is probably like the most synonymous with just your typical yellow mustard, which
Give
is
Give me
incredible.
The stone ground all day.
6 is barbecue sauce.
Got to make my own.
5 is
really
salsa.
Don't need it.
People love their salsa. Comes in at number 5.
Unless you're
hot,
like
you mean hot sauce?
You're dipping chicken tenders into barbecue sauce. I think that's the only like great use for it that I can think
I think
of.
A lot of people like to put it on like grilled chicken, their bad. Burgers. They'll put it on
I
there.
Want burger.
Yeah.
Maybe
brisket yeah. grilled cheese sandwich is pretty good.
Not bad. 4 is mayo.
Eh.
3 is hot sauce.
The main reason I need the mayo is so I can just mix it into my tuna.
Yeah, me too.
That's a good point. Base.
I mean, mayo really just blends into a lot of things.
Yeah. And then I just douse it in mustard, too.
I go mustard and mayo in the tuna as well. And then maybe some relish, or I'll chop up some pickles, put it in there, some celery,
like
a little bit of
maybe
snap.
Some eggs or something.
Yeah. 2 is ketchup. But number 1 most popular thing to have in your fridge is butter.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have butter.
Got
to
have butter.
And it's something, well, I mean, it's just things to have in your fridge. Most of them were condiments.
Okay.
But butter, I feel like you're using it for so many things you don't even think of. Like, yeah. I need to butter the pan. I need to put butter in for this recipe. Butter is one that you probably need to have in the fridge at all times.
I do prefer a good margarine.
Over the butter?
Yeah.
Okay.
That Kerrygold.
What it?
Oh, yeah. Lucius, there you go.
Kerrygold is soda
there
you proof,
go.
By the way.
There you
yeah.
go.
Heck yeah, it is. It's 100% grass-fed. It's incredible.
Yep.
Well, hey, I got an update from Pittman. Pittman is coming out here, but he's not gonna cook for the team. But he's coming out here to visit.
Oh, he's
but they're gonna have
what?
Some they're gonna have a guy named Randy Lamb. That's gonna cook, but he's gonna hand the torch over to Pittman. So maybe down the road we'll see some Matt Pittman stuff. He heard I was talking about him on the radio and decided to text me back.
We got Lamb and Pittman.
Very nice.
Yep. Cooking it up. That's awesome.
CD Lamb would be nice to show up instead of Randy Lamb.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. Well, thank you, Woolchuck. A little late today because we had CY back there at 4:20. Woolchuck's top 10 every afternoon here in the nation. We'll check back in with Cowboys takeaways from today's training camp practice that Broadus attended coming up at 5:20 inside the expressway. Where are we going next, Chief?
Got a little football's finest. Harbaugh apologizes for absolutely nothing. And we got great things coming out of camp about the Riz God himself, Mike Zimmer. That's next in the nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1.
Or track pick number 1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.